Our Father, we open this precious book again. Thank you for it, Lord. There's so much here for us to learn. And there's a lifetime what you preserve for us in our day. And Lord, it's one thing to read, it's another thing to try to understand it. And we want to understand every morsel of spiritual bread here. We just believe we grow in grace and knowledge when we do. We believe God's desire for us, if we'll study this book, to teach it in the long hours of the night of studying. And Lord, help us to put it together systematically. What a joy through the years to see from Genesis to Revelation how God is working everything towards that goal. His mind and the planning. He's a God of planning and then working the plan. And using each generation as they come, using each culture that comes up as the soldier one to carry on that plan in time till God closes it out. And Lord, we thank you for our nation, but we're certainly seeing some hard times coming to the Word of God, to those who believe this Bible. And as we were looking in the last few days, Lord, in the early days, years when our country was settled, a lot of folks nowadays are trying to change the thought of how our country was settled and trying to change the basics, foundation of it, to move it away from that blessed era where God gave us in those early years, where God was the center. And even those, a lot of times, who didn't believe in him, they still had recognition to him. And even some give credit to God and made him come to you, Lord. But living today now, things are changing. It makes us understand a little bit as we read the history of the pilgrims and the Puritans and all those who came across and see the history in the early years of the 1400s. Father, what was happening? Many Christians lost their lives. Many passed. Thousands. I was reading just today, thousands of them lost their lives. They were literally killed because they would not go with the state government, state religion. And so, Lord, we're coming to a place now, seeing the beginning of that, where no one's lost their lives as yet by the government, but the government's forcing things on them that God has given us the standard to stand against. And when that happens, sooner or later, the courts of the land, who are evil, and began to be changed to face that, to give credit to that which is not of God, and God's people take their stand. So then they begin telling us, well, it's a law. You're breaking the law. Therefore, you're a lawbreaker. You deserve to be put in the courts. And that's how Satan works. So, Lord, we got a lot to look forward to, but think again. Right now, we have the freedom of this book and try to understand what God would have us to see, that we may stand in these days for the glory of God until we see your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in Psalm chapter 36, David wrote this, and he said this. We read again, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, and he's talking about his own heart, the wicked's heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. That he goes his way, wax worse and worse, as Paul told Timothy, and yet we see that he moves to that to the point that he's too late when he find out that the iniquity is found to be hateful. Most people are already captured by it. And then he goes on and he says, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He had left off to be wise and to do good. And when you do that, you head in a downward spiral away from God, and he devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. That is, he has no fear of God at all. And therefore, he does nothing but practice that which is evil. Then he also said, David said in Psalm 14, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They are done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. So we're talking about what is the meaning of life if there is no God. We know there is, but we're looking at it. And here's what I'm doing this week, last week, this week, this week, and next week, if we get to that. I get so tired at times. People say, well, you just believe the Bible, you say, and you never take chance to try to see where we're coming from. That's what I'm telling you. We're talking about the atheist, mainly the person who believes there's no God. What are the reasons for them saying that? They say they have the reasons for that, just like we have our reason to believe that there is a God. But when you begin to analyze what they say, it don't even make sense. Now, when you first hear some of the things they say, it might logically make sense. But if you dig a little deeper, you begin to realize that what they're saying really don't make sense, because if there is no God, there's no meaning for life to exist. That's all there is to it. Because what happens is, man comes born in a land, it's wicked, and he lives a period of time, whatever he accomplishes it, it doesn't mean anything, and during that time because you're going to die, leave it all. And you say, well, I'll do something maybe to help the next generation. Well, they just get wickier and they use what they have, build on something else to build their life, and they die. And if everything just happened by chance, sooner or later it's going to be eliminating it. If it started by chance, it can be destroyed by chance. What was that? Somebody hungry? But what I want you to notice with me, think about when we're coming into this world. We come in this world with a depraved nature. If that's all we have, what meaning of life would there be? We come, we live, we die. We say, well, we're better than cavemen were years ago. We might be better culture and living-wise, but our hearts are no better if there's no God. If that be the case, then you find if there's no God, then why don't everybody be selfish? Well, everybody is practicing selfish a lot in our day, and it may be because there's a lot of folks who don't know God. They claim it does in their... There's a period of time we're living at now, people may, well, I just don't know. In case there is, I will say I trust him, so I'll be able, if I die, to go to him. Hey, you better get off of that. Because there's more to it than just saying, I better check it. I've heard Bob, you heard me say, Bob Hope said one time, he just went to all the religion because he wanted to be sure that he'd get the right one. If he missed some, he'd be sure he'd get the right one. Well, I'll tell you, what a sad thing to go to all the religion except one and then still miss them all. And miss the one that's important, because we know the one of this Bible is the one that's important. So we come into this world, we're born, we live, we die a period of time. Our lives are a little more than they were maybe a century ago. We're back around 70, 80 years old, maybe, by reason, by fourscore. And then we still die. We think we can make the next generation maybe live longer. And in their mind, they do believe that. But when it comes right down to it, there's no God, there's no reason for anybody to exist. Because nothing is ever happening that's going to last. But on the other hand, when God is involved, we know he had a plan and purpose. And that's the thing about it is, right now where we're at in time, when you're born physically and when you die, we're in a period of time. When you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a reason to live. You have a reason because God has a plan for you, and that plan is from now to prepare saints. God has a plan for this universe. God has a plan for this planet. God has a plan for the people that he created in Adam. God has a plan for Adam's descendants, and that he wants them to know he loved them for a purpose, that where not only do they live here, not only could they use their God-given talents here in the mind and the image of God to create and do things and make decisions for God, but in that realm where Satan is at as far as the spiritual world, he's proven that God has set up a system right in Satan's backyard that where in turn that's going to some people to only believe him and believe him to the place to obey him, and he's going to bring a generation out of those people to live with him forever on the end of this thing. Man, that's tremendous. Amen. I'll be honest with you, folks. Some people say, well, I just live for my family. Well, your family's going to die. What's going to happen then? When you think about life, you think about life with God, not only here but forever. That's something to live for. Now, you say, but when you think for the reason of man, we don't get that far to think. And we say, well, it makes sense. If I'm here, I'll do the best I can. Maybe I'll leave something for somebody else and so forth. Well, did you know the only thing we're doing, if that be the case, we know, if that's what a person thinks, all their thing they're doing is in this earth for just a better place for a person to leave here to go to hell from. Because I believe there's a hell. Because the God we trust in. So what we're saying, all we're doing when we come, if they don't believe there's no God, and we believe there is, the only thing we see, all they're doing is making this earth a better place to try to live from one generation to next so they leave from here and go to hell and find a lake of fire. But we know when God came along, things changes. Now, we came in this world with the nature of Adam, and now when we got born again, we have two natures. We have the old nature, where God tells us to put off, and we have the new nature, which is developed. And the new nature, as it grows and he overcomes the old nature, the more you're going to live for God. If a man stays away from this book, that's when someone says, well, I'm saved, but I don't believe in going to church. Well, I don't believe going just to any church, but this book has been taught, and that's the only thing I'm getting. It's better than not to get anything, because the only way you're going to learn how to do what the new nature wants is from this book. Amen. It's the only way that you're going to verify what the new nature wants. And so the Bible is an important thing. So if there is no God, then it's like, then when it comes to those who believe there's no God, life is pointless and meaningless. And atheists also are pointless and meaningless. Now, it amazes me when you begin to paint a picture about how what life is, when they say they don't believe there's a God, they get very upset about it. They get irritated about it. And now when they do that, when you make a statement like, well, if evolution has no goals, then even creatures have no goals. And atheists even say they don't even believe in evolution. That is a lower form to a higher form, but they're all in the same basket anyhow. If evolution has no meaning of life, then life itself has no meaning. If evolution has no purpose, then the universe, then the life itself has no purpose. And so they'll deny that, they're very strongly arguing against, because the things that they say that causes us to believe God, they say they don't need. And let me give you some arguments, and then we're going to, what you can say one thing for sure, we believe this Bible, and we're not afraid to say to even teach what they say, because I believe this Bible is powerful. I believe it's more powerful than anything that man has, really, as far as mental and as far as studying is concerned. So they say this, one of the first things they say, they argue, well, listen, I can make my own meaning in life. I can create my own purpose in life. They say, I don't need God to think or to plan or to have purpose in my life. And when you hear that, sounds fairly right, because you think if you won't save, I'm here and I don't understand my coming from what I hear don't make sense, but I know I'm here. I know I can think, I can plan, I can purpose, I can do things while I'm here, hopefully make life a little bit better. It seems reasonable. But without God or without some mind behind that, what's the use to do it? When you think about everything that you do is forgotten. How many people remember us, even our own families, if the Lord lets another 100 years go by? You'd have to go back and dig it out of the family tree somewhere or another and probably couldn't find that very easy. I mean, we come through and we're gone. About the only people we remember, some special people that have been raised up in society to start, like our nation. We know who George Washington was. I never met him. You never have met him. And history tells us that. We know who Abraham Lincoln was. We know who presidents was and sort of thing like that. But do you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Not very few people know one person now that died during the Civil War. And if we didn't know of someone way yonder, we just know of them. They could be family. We just know of them. Right. We know some of the main ones. But listen, there's a whole lot more died than just the main ones, a few main ones. So I'm saying the life, how many, listen, think of the hundreds and hundreds and even some thousands of people that died in war for us to be here today, and we don't know one of them's name. Now, if it's in our family, we'd say, well, yeah, my great-great-granddad, I had a my great-great-great-granddad, I think, was one of the first ones that signed up in the Civil War for the South. But I don't know him. I wouldn't known that if I hadn't gone to Smithfield and pulled out the archives and began looking. They told me he was in there, and I did find him. But I wouldn't have known that. My dad knew of it, but he didn't know him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying simply, when you look at what we do, it's kind of useless unless there's something behind it more than what we see. I'm going to be honest with you. When God touched my heart years ago about going into full-time ministry, and where I was at, developing like everybody else, trying to get my mind educated and trying to do something and ready to move forth, and had a tremendous opportunity. It was kind of scary. But I'm going to tell you, this coming Sunday, I'll be 56 years old in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm so glad I did. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if I had come to a place and had as much money as Gates did, isn't that his name? Gates. And then die. What good is it? You say, well, you helped a lot of people. That's right. Might have to some degree, but when it comes to him, the same way he enjoyed his life. Enjoyed his life, and then not knowing what life was about in the sense of God. You say, well, maybe he's saved. Maybe he is. But I'm trying to lay something out. These people who don't believe there's a God, it's pointless in their life to even be alive for a moment, because they're going to find out there is a God, and they wasted their life. Every person who ends up in hell, the lake of fire, is going to realize they wasted their life. And we don't think of that in terms of eternity. And that's what I'm trying to look at now. Lord God, I want to see something from your viewpoint about these people. They don't even realize where they're at. They think we're fools and foolish and really out, so religious fanatic, don't want to get along with us. And yet all that's all we're trying to do is say God loves you. But we don't believe there's a God. And so they keep putting these things up before us. Their excuse is nothing more than a cop-out to try to make themselves feel better. So everyone can anyone can set a goal in this life. Because why? We're conscious beings. We can do that. But goals mean nothing if it's only in this life compared to eternity. Now, saying that, someone said, now wait a minute. It does mean something that this person did this and they have a job. I know that. But I'm saying compared to eternity, every goal in this life won't mean a thing if we do not leave this life to be with the God who made us. Amen. Because it's going to look like then, what good was it for me to be born? It would have been better. God help me with this. It'd been better if we'd never been born and die and go to hell. So God lets us have an eye-opener and you feel so helpless because there's too many intellectual so-called giants that people have respect to because we're just a little bit too fanatical. So they keep looking at things, and we're going to die. If we're going to die anyway, and in the scheme of the entire universe, your life will have mean nothing according to atheism, but not according to God. In the scheme of the entire universe, and when everything is through, they said it don't mean nothing, but it does by God. Because we know when everything seems to be through physically, we just begin to live in Jesus Christ. But they don't see that. Now, when you think of an atheist who tries to say their life has meaning or purpose is suffering from a delusion far greater than those who believe in God. I'm going to say this. I know people don't understand it because you didn't travel the road in the last few weeks. I have. But for an atheist to say that, listen, for you to say that what I think about in my life to gain things is delusion, I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, when you think along that line and they say that it's suffering, they say we're delusioned to believe in God, and yet they are in delusion because they don't believe in God. And the only way they're going to find out then, if you can't reach them for the Lord, that we were right and they were wrong. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. I take it to task. You take the task all you want to. And I'd say those people who say that. But ladies and gentlemen, there's no way in this world the end's going to come out like they think without God. And so the Bible certainly backs this up. That's our only source. Now, if an atheist is correct, no matter how badly you want your life to matter, it simply doesn't matter. You have no more meaning or purpose in the universe than a bacteria or a grain of sand or a rock or an ant or even a raindrop. Conscience don't make any difference. There's no God. It might make us be dominant while we're here. They can say they can save the world and feed the hungry and all that because they have a conscience. But that doesn't change the fact that it's meant nothing at all because, again, they can think and say we feed the world and do all those great, wonderful things for humanity to help the poor and so forth. But, ladies and gentlemen, to do that and not give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, again, I say makes this world nothing but a better place to go to hell from. The very best you could ever achieve as an atheist is to do that. And so we know this. In the end, all will be lost in death, and the earth shall surely not survive forever, regardless of one's belief system. It's not going to survive. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe this. If anything can by chance just happen, it can by chance just cease to be too. Because there's no power behind it other than the power that we give it. And by the way, if it just happened, it could be possible that that which has just happened come to our day, we could blow everybody to Bolivia with what weapons we have today. Did you know it'd be very easy for a mishap now with people, these maniacs, to get an atomic bomb to knock this planet completely out of orbit? You say, well, preacher, now that's just too hard. Wait a minute. They tell us that millions of years ago we had some of that happen. That's why we don't have dinosaurs and things today. Look what it did to them. We got a whole lot more power. Well, I don't know if you can get anything more powerful out of the earth, out of this planet's coming this way, but we got a whole lot more powerful stuff that man has than he's ever had that could do damage to this. When they tell me that they have weapons of atomic in turn of splitting atoms and things like that, and you take just a little small piece of something, destroy a whole city with it, if you was mind to, because the combustion of atoms start combustions, and you just, God could just speak and start a combustion and destroy this whole earth, because he knows what it's made out of. And by the way, he's got the power in his voice to do it too. But you see, they just belittle him all the time. So they say that, well, I can make my own meaning in life, I can create my own purpose, I don't need God for that. But they realize all they can do is create for a little bit, because sooner or later, if it started by itself, it'll end by itself. Or man who is on here will destroy it. Then the second thing they say, the point of life, they argue, the point of life is to live. It's really to live. Really? I thought life and evolution had no point at all. And so what they're talking about, they say it has evolution. They don't even actually believe in evolution, but they want their cake and they try to eat it too. And on one hand, they want to explain how God doesn't exist at all. And when you point out that they're pointless and may want to might as well not be exist, or you know, if you jump off a cliff, it makes things early come off somewhere or another, they think you're out of your mind. We say that because if there is nothing but what we're here, and we're leading to disaster. When a disaster comes, which is it better, earlier or later? Leave God out, and I'll tell you what. When you take their beliefs and apply it to their own life, they don't like the implication 1 minute whatsoever, and they begin to play on words in turn of their mind, which gives them authority and makes them something big and minimizes God. The third thing they argue the point of life is to have an offspring or reproduce. That's the reason we're here. We reproduce, so we reproduce our generations ahead. We know life is short. You know, if you live 100 years now, you're doing a marvelous thing. And so, therefore, reproduce and have other people. Well, isn't it an amazing thing? If that was the only thing about it was, and we reproduce, some of them would be dying, perishing to death anyhow. We're getting to the point now we can't raise enough food for all the people in the world, just about. With the modern day technology we have. If evolution has a goal to reproduce for creatures and to continue to exist, then there has to be a force somehow or another that actually is behind that. And procreation is the goal. If they say, well, that's the reason we're here to reproduce, well, there's got to be a force behind it. Somebody had to start that thought. If you say, well, evolution started, then that's their God. But it's a false God. So when you look at what they're saying, if production is a random mutation caused by natural forces only, when it must surely have a goal, it has a goal, then it must have some form of conscience. And that would make evolution a type of God, if that's what they use that, gave them the permission to do and the power to do what they do. Because man didn't start it, but something did start it. And I'd have to believe that if evolution started it, it's more powerful than man. Because evolution would have a goal. Evolution can't have a goal. Evolution is a thought of man trying to remove God. You know the reason we are where we are today? Because of God. You know the reason we're doing what we're doing today? When we think like we can today, we're in the image of God. We're the only creatures that are in physical life. And that's the reason we do what we do and think like we do in this particular life. Take a little time to do this, but it's important. Interest how life really tries hard to exist. It doesn't matter if it's an animal or an insect or a human being, who it is. We all strive to exist. We all fight to stay alive. Even when you take somebody that's dying and they put on a machine, keeps them alive. Even when you take them off the machine, they will fight to stay alive. Until the last breath comes. Some people would say to give up. Listen, your mind can give up, but your body will fight until that last breath. It'll fight that last breath. Sometimes it's fighting when they don't even know it, they're existing. You ever seen the death breath? Like, everyone's like the last one. And you think, that's it. And if you watch it sometimes, I've seen a lot of folks die. Watch it, that death breath they have just keeps going. They don't even know they're around, hardly. We know them. They may be conscious, but they're not causing that to happen. It's the body trying to stay alive. Right. Until God calls it calls life out of that, you see. And so is this not strange, though, for something that alleged isn't trying to do anything and yet is trying to survive? They argue also the point of life is to love my family and help others. Now, that's a good thought. We should love our families. God teaches us that we are to love them. But that's not the point of the fact of for them being here. If evolution is true, to perceive in one's mind that one has a purpose to do those things, it's atheistic delusion. If one truly believes that there is no God and evolution has no goals or purpose, then they have no true purpose beyond their own mind. They have no purpose but beyond their own mind. There is nothing making them do that. We say, well, I'm doing it because I have the ability. Fine, but what does it lead to? Absolutely nothing as far as they're concerned, because whatever they gain, they're going to die and leave it behind. Did you know that most people, and God teaches that we have to work hard all their life, but most people very rarely ever enjoy what they end up making because they die before they enjoy it. Isn't that amazing? And I believe it all my heart, it's a sign that God chose us. They say, when you talk about these, sometimes it's very foolish about life. If God does not exist, what good, and I wrote this last week down as I meditate on this. If God does not exist, what good are we here? When I came here, I've been here 48 years. Brother George born and raised here. Some of the others may have been born and raised here. Some of the men that I knew were the leaders in this town, good Mormons as far as I know. Got to know them. They got to know me as we started this church on West Main Street. Anybody ever gone now? Every last one of them. I hope some of them's in heaven. I don't know if some of them are. I know for sure. Now, let me ask you something, folks. Let me tell you something. I wonder how many people here now that's come here from other places or have been born here even remember some of their names. They won't unless their family's still here. You're going to have to go to some archives somewhere to see them. So you see, we may do a lot of good while we're here because of human beings to help them. But the end results, nobody remembers it. I'm glad you look at Clayton now. They got a television site you go to and see the history of Clayton. I appreciate that. I've been able to look at some of it and remember some of the people that were involved with it. And without that, then I wouldn't even know who they are. And even then, they just know their name. Can't identify with it. If you think about a job somewhere or another, a person goes works and works at a job. Eventually, that job's gone. Who's going to know them? Thank God he's there. I'll tell you one thing. God's got every one of our names. One day we're going to stand before him, and he's going to call us by name, but he's going to call us and give us a new name. Amen. Why, preacher? Because he's going to give us a name that fits that body, glorified body. That's the reason I believe he's going to do it. My name's Charles Ray Ennis, but it's always known from this body. You can mention my name some people years ago that knew before I got saved, and they Charlie, I remember him, but I don't like what they remember. You're the same way, for you were saved. So I said, not me, I was pretty good old Joe. I was too. I was in church, but I'll tell you, my mind didn't think like it does now. And neither did yours. Because a lot of things that people tell me, and I say, you're out of your mind, I'm a young man. When you're young, you don't have a lot of conviction about anything to start with. You know what? That life is there for you, isn't it? Man, it's there for you. And you just think this is just marvelous until you find out there's strings attached to it along life pathway. You think about families. Your family members. How many here knows your fifth, sixth generation years ago? Take churches. Ladies and gentlemen, when I started back in the late 50s, early 60s, getting saved in the 60s and 70s, there's men that I knew. I think about this right now. Most people won't even know what Highland Baptist Church in Tennessee was a few years from now. It's not there anymore. Dr. Lee Robertson, great giant of God. Most people won't even know who they are unless they read fundamental works about them. His universe is gone. His church is gone. It's a new group come in and they've sold everything. and started a new work. What I'm saying to you, he invested a life there. Aren't you glad, though, his life was for the Lord, not just for that? Amen. You see, now God, I never forget that. I'm trying to get you to see that why people are they are, they don't see. We have a vantage on them because God has given us spiritual illumination and a fact book here to bring about his promises to us. In order to get more, I see. There come a time the Lord's, if the Lord delays his coming back for some reason, when I say delay, really God's not going to delay his coming back. He knows when he's coming back. Now, in that case, though, we just wondered. It didn't come today, it come tomorrow. Come next day, that's the way we are to be looking for him. But eventually, when many, let me ask you a question. In the early years of this church when we started, it's had some great giants for God. But most of you don't know one person. You go back and look at the bull book and you won't know them. And you that are here, let me tell you something. Thank God. God doesn't forget. You that are here that work in this church and do what God has to do in this church and move forward in our time to do what God says do. One day if the Lord don't come back for the church, we'll be gone. But there'll be people who are here, if his church is even here, won't even know who we are. But God will. See, the reason why it's worth doing something? Because God keeps a record. And we're going to our reward. We may not get it all here, but one day we will get it all. Of all things in the world, will be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine us, this earth, coming from Adam, God giving us the privilege in Jesus Christ to be joint heirs with him? You know what that means, folks? We're part of the family. We're part of God's family. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Not because of who we are physically, but who we are since we've been saved in this life. And he's given us a child of God. And that's what they miss out when they think about this, you see. So to create a purpose or to define meaning in life is nothing more than a delusional, made-up thing in mind of a pointless creature if a person doesn't realize there's more to life than here. And I spend a little time on this because I'm coming to something I guarantee you never thought about just like this. I got an article that came out it was an interview by Stone Phillips in NBC of Jeffrey Dahmer, Dahmer. You remember that serial killer a few years ago? Who? Dahmer? Dahlman? Well, Jeffers is his first name in here, amen. But what I want you to notice is this, what he says. And by the way, this is what happens to a bad created mind. This is how it thinks. And he makes this statement. And I read what he has to say. This was back in on NBC, November 29, 1994. He said, and I quote, "If a person doesn't think there is a God to be accountable to," and that's the key. If there's no God, I'm not accountable. If I'm not accountable, don't watch out. I don't have to worry about you. If I'm not accountable, hey, you talking about your courts? If I got enough prestige and I got the money, I can get out of your courts. And what he's setting forth here, if you have nobody to account to for in the future, you don't worry about what you do. And some people rise to the top. If they don't feel they got to count, and everybody's got to count to them, next thing you know, we're just little peons down the road. If we don't line up what they want to, we're gone. But he says this, and I quote again, "If a person doesn't think there is a God to be accounted to, then what's the point of trying to modify your behavior to keep it within acceptable ranges? What's the point to try to live right? What's the point to try to obey the law?" That's what he said. I go on quoting. He said, "That's how I thought anyway. I always believed the theory of evolution is truth, that we all just came from slime. And when we die, you know, that was it. There is nothing else." When you get a person, that's what David is talking about, that he's talking about. You know, he said he flattered himself in his own eyes and his iniquity be found to be hateful. He keeps going. Eventually, sooner or later, these people are going to find out their iniquity and sin was hateful to them because it's going to destroy them. And that's what he's setting forth here. If a person has this mind, what stops a moral atheist in these situations when morality comes into play? Nothing. If there's no accountability, no morality is involved. Right? I mean, I thought, who makes the law? You hear people talking about our nation now. Well, if we got a law then that was done 75 years ago, our culture today can change that law. And by the way, that's what they're doing. And then you come along nowadays to the place they get to the point and say, well, our nation's set up with three systems. We have, you know, legislators, we have a Senate, we have a House, and then we have the judicial system. And the Senate and the House are supposed to be making the laws, and now we've just seen the judicial system make a law anytime they want to. And it seems like our country just goes with it. We've seen that in the same self-same marriages. So when I think along this line, just another thought. A more atheist can only be more far for so long if they truly realize these facts. Eventually, their own desire would consume them. They already think they are animals. How long before they begin to act like that? If they're not created by a hand, somebody, then when they look at all other creations of animals, they say, we're just a high-evolved animal. Don't you hear that? Yeah, we're just animals that evolved a lot higher. That's all we used to be like they were, and that's the reason they feel like, you know, don't harm them. Man alive, I see a bear coming at me. I know one thing, if I don't harm him, he's going to harm me. And I hope that I have something to harm him by. But what I'm saying is that they think we're just an animal, just a higher rated animal that we can think better. No, we're always been higher. We're not derived from anything that's lower than we are. We've always been higher because we've been in the image of God. Amen. And no matter what they say, they can't change that. And so an atheist can only be more for so long. Then eventually he desires going to consume it, and they think they're animals. And when they even mature Christians sin, here's the thing. Even when we look at how they are and where they're at, even Christians themselves, and this is my last thought for the night, even mature Christians sin because we have, I'm trying to say this way, even with the restraints, we don't do everything absolutely right. Now, the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians, turn around, I want you to read this verse with me. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul made this statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 14. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The word constraineth here means to force or to hold back. We also find ourselves being restrained on some things. What is that? It's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit and the Word that we know that brings the morality that's needed in our lives. A man's not saved, don't have that. A woman's not saved, don't have that. So their mind runs wild, and you can't have nothing but have sin get worse. That's the reason Paul told Timothy, man will wax worse and worse and worse and worse because he has nothing to turn it around. He has nothing to stop it. And the only thing can stop it is God. And here he tells us that the love of Christ constrains us. It's the love of Christ that helps us walk in the line that we do, even with the problems we have. Even knowing what to do, sometimes people do exactly. I mean, God says, forsake not yourself in the house of God. A lot of Christians do that and think not one thing about it. To me, that's just a greater command, thou shalt not lie. Amen. Then some people say, wait a minute now, preacher, wait a minute. Jews didn't go but one time a week, and I go once a month. That's enough. No, it's not. What I'm saying to you folks, see what the mind will do to us who are even saved. Think what it is those people not saved. They have no restraint whatsoever. The only restraint this has is if you have a community, say we're going to make some laws to govern ourselves. And even then you got problems. Because as each community dies out and another comes in, they're going to change the laws because of the culture. And so, he's talking about restrain here, or constrain, of course, the love of Christ constrains us. But when you're talking about restrain, it means to check, to hold back, to bridle. So even a mature Christian who may make a decision to do something that's not his lifestyle, but whatever it is, there is a restraint in there. There is that which in turn holds back. That's that which in turn checks out. That which in turn bridles us. It's the Holy Spirit of God. I guarantee you. That's the reason God said, if you hide this word in your heart, you won't sin against me. You know why? Isn't that an amazing thing? Hide this word in your heart and you won't sin against me. You know what it's saying? There's power behind this word, and the Holy Spirit will use the word to constrain and restrain us. But you can't do it unless you know what it is. And that's the reason God said, hey, I set the church up. You go out, we got, you'll find everything been taught there if it's taught from me. You're going to learn there's a lifestyle that God wants us to live. The only way to get away from that is stay out of the book and leave it and stay out of church. So here, this is amazing. We reminded ourselves of a lot of things. I thought about this. A lot of people play church, but act like there is no higher power to give account to except the one they made for themselves. Buddhists may not believe in God as we do, but they believe in a higher power. I mean, you can find that atheists with a desire to do evil has serious problems. They say they don't believe in anything, but yet on the other hand, they think they become their God because what they do is okay because they wouldn't do anything that would be that bad anyhow. And I thought about this. The person I fear the most in the future is not an extremist religious person, maybe not even a Buddhist humming in a cave somewhere or another, because they have some restraints that may be put on themselves rather than God. The person you fear the most, person who has no regard for love, no fear of punishment, and does only his or her own will regardless of the consequences, they are the people you better fear. I am my own boss. I do what I want to. And when I do what I want to, don't you get in my way. They're the ones you have to fear. A person who is even religious to some degree has some guidelines because he's got a God in his mind that there are some things that he may have made them up himself, but there's some things he restrained himself for because he says he believes that there is a God. And so when you see this, the person you fear believes he or she can do whatever they please, and if things get tough, they can end their life and don't have to face God. And Nathan said, I do what I need to. If I end my life, fine, I'm going to have to face God because I'd just die like an animal. They're going to be surprised, aren't they? We rambled some, but God, I pray tonight you bless our understanding as we look at these people. Lord, this is the reason, God, please help someone understand this. This is the reason why God has a love for such people that mock him by denying him. And Lord, you see everything. The only thing we're seeing now is a little bit what we've seen and read of what's been said. And tonight, I'm not hitting nothing like you see. And yet, what I hit helps me have a love to some degree for these people they don't even understand. They call us foolish and, you know, fanaticas and, you know, just all kinds of names. And yet, God, they're headed for disaster. They mock us. And yet, you help us love them because you love them. They think we have a monopoly on God we made up ourselves. And yet they are their own God. And Father, the only thing can change that's the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will bless God's Word if it can be said in their hearing. Now, Father, I hope somehow or another some soul winners get out of this, because here's a case where we're looking at now, everywhere we go, people seem to be harassed and at some time kind of be up, you know, they treat soul winners worse. They think they throw us in the ring with everybody else who's doing things religiously and not and say for God, what's not for God. And yet, Father, when we go in Jesus' name, we go with love in our heart. We go with a care. And Father, this way, somehow or another, I hope I can get it across. I know this. I've been looking at this angle, and God has certainly given me a love for people that would hate me. And I believe it all my heart. It's because you help us look at their angle. As long as we don't forget where you come from. And Father, when we look at their angle, from their angle, and you with us looking at it, somehow or another you put a love in our heart for people like that because you love them. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would, when we go, find ourselves praying for people rather than leaving with an ear will because we were treated a little bit on the wrong side, mocked. Or maybe even cussed out, like a few times we've been that way. Lord, they can't do no more to us than they did to you. And on the cross, you said, Father, forgive them. they know what they do. There's something about the power of the Spirit of God in our hearts by the Holy Spirit in the Word that's hid there, that God just overcomes us to understand that how much you love the world because you loved us. As we finish this study next week, Lord, pray this have been something that in turn would cause us to see this world different. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.